What Iris and those cultists who aren't fleeing see is probably something like this. They see the Eater of Souls, newly risen from his bed, grab their high priestess and whirl her around in a deadly embrace, warning them to stand back. Then, the skeletal remains on the bed sit up. One of them stands and begins to advance on the congregants. A guard shoots its head off, then blows the still-walking corpse in half at the waist. A member of the chorus bashes it twice with a length of wood. He freezes for a second, then hurls the timber at the guard's head and leaps. The other feeder hobbles out from behind the four-poster bed. It's halfway up the stepped ring of mattresses, and it's moving towards the exit. Meanwhile, the mob of terrified cultists have gotten the door open, and that's when the real panic begins. Iris is shaking, but I force her to turn, holding her so that she can't look away. "This is your doing," I shout in her ear, barely able to hear my own voice. Harsh words force themselves through my larynx, words that come without my willing them. "Death waits you. You're all going to die. You have signed an oath of obedience to your dark master, and with hell you are in agreement. Death awaits you all." Her congregation numbers perhaps 30 to 50 at most, with another 8 to 10 on guard outside. The wheelwright dead, in contrast, number in the hundreds, and the honored dead of the Skull Brethren certainly outnumber Iris's followers. I can feel the feeders waiting outside the door, eager for the warmth they can sense within. "Wait for my word of release," I tell them. Eager? Sense? I'm not sure those words are applicable to feeders. I'm not sure feeders are conscious in the way that we are, or even as aware as mammals or birds. They're bundles of rough reflexes, bound together by the strange grammars of night, more like software agents than anything that's ever had flesh. But if it walks like a lizard and breathes gouts of fire, you might as well call it a dragon, and the feeders certainly seem to prefer bodies with a bit of metabolic energy and structural integrity remaining. Behind me, the first feeder completes his leap, slamming chest first onto the floor with a bone-snapping crack. The shotgun-toting guard is reeling from the thrown baton as the feeder lashes out and grasps him by the trouser hem, yanks him closer, and touches skin to skin as the butt of the shotgun descends with force born of panic. In front of me, the other feeder lurches towards a robed woman. She's made of sterner stuff than the ones who are panicking, or perhaps she's just running her anti-rapist self-defense training script on autopilot. She raises a highly illegal taser, and there's a snap and a blue flare as she zaps the feeder. The cadaver collapses like a marionette with its strings cut, its rider temporarily banished back from whence it came. Beings who are basically patterns of energy, bleeding through from a parallel universe to ours, don't respond well to high-voltage electrical noise. A femur goes rolling underfoot among the panicking congregants, triggering a rush to avoid touching it. "Wimps," I think contemptuously. "Shoot her," I instruct my surviving feeder. The feeder raises the shotgun, its butt sticky with a mat of blood and hair, and tries to aim it in the general direction of the door. But its musculoskeletal control is patchy. It has taken 3 hosts in less than 30 seconds, all in different states, and it's confused. The shotgun pitches up as it clumsily jerks the trigger, and there's a repetitive stabbing pain in my ears as it blasts away at the ceiling above the crowd. They've got the doors open, and they're trying to run away. "Stop firing," I tell it, as the panicking cultists scramble for the exit. "Shut and barricade the door behind them." I can see a hooded female, eyes staring back at me and full of hate. It's Jonquil. She mouths something, probably some variation on "I'll be back," but she's not going to stay in a locked crypt with the Eater of Souls, even to save her mummy dearest. That's the trouble with cultists. No moral fiber to speak of. Iris tenses as her followers leave, and it's then that she makes her bid for freedom, stamping hard on the inside of my right shin and trying to elbow me in the guts. "Let me go," she shouts. I feel the pain in my leg as if from a great distance, and the elbow in my abdomen is just a mild nuisance. "I don't think so," I say, and tighten my grip on her. "You don't know what's going on out there," I add. She keeps struggling, so I force her face down on her own altar. "You made a really big mistake," I explain, as the feeder with a shotgun stalks after the last fleeing worshipper and reaches for the door. "Fuck you," she snarls. The feeder with a shotgun draws the door shut. "You may rise now," I call silently to the ones who wait patiently outside, and I feel them begin to stir in their niches, shaking the cobwebs from their uneasy bones. "You made several procedural mistakes, Iris." I don't need to shout now, but my ears are still ringing. "You tried to summon up a Pretor, but it didn't occur to you to check first to see if it was already incarnate, which it was, leaving you with an invocation and no target. So it latched onto the first available unhomed soul in the neighborhood, and it just happened to be mine. You're an idiot, Iris. You bound me into my own body, and you've just killed us both." She's still tense, but she stops struggling. She's listening, I think. "You've killed me because I... You know what happens to demonologists who run code in their head? You made a big mistake giving me time to think about what was happening. Suicide invocations are always among the most powerful, and you put me in the middle of the biggest graveyard in the country with all that untapped necromantic go-juice. Bet you thought it would make your summoning easier, didn't you? Well, it worked for me, but I'm dead, Iris. I don't know how long this binding is going to hold up, and when the field collapses, I'll be just another corpse." The ringing in my ears is subsiding, almost enough to hear the muffled banging and screams from outside the door. Oh dear, it sounds